housing is a huge conversation right now. Here in Niagara, across this province, across this country, it is something that is taking up time in people's minds because it is becoming a huge problem. Not that it already wasn't. Like, we already had an affordable housing shortage and crisis going on for the last couple of years. But the spread of the housing boom and the pricing going through the roof over the last year and a half has really exacerbated a problem that was already bad enough. And people are looking to anybody and everybody to try to come up with solutions to this. On a political side, the hope is that, look, can we get something done? The Ontario Green Party's got some ideas and a plan that they would like to, you know, at least give a pitch out there and try to see if they can get some traction on. So Green Party leader Mike Schreiner joining us on the program this morning. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Matt, I'm doing well. Pleasure to be on this morning.
When it comes to housing, this has got to be one of the first things you hear from a lot of people now.
Oh, yeah, it's a top priority for the Green Party, especially going into the next election, which is why it's the first platform piece we've put out with a strategy to build livable and affordable communities. It rests on three pillars: building connected, affordable, sustainable communities. And as you said in the intro, you know, we've had a housing affordability crisis that's been building and building and building over the last number of years, but it's really reached a breaking point during COVID, and it's especially hitting the Niagara region hard as, you know, people move out from the GTHA and are seeking affordable solutions in other places. We've actually seen the ability of Niagara residents to purchase a home has shrunk faster in the first quarter of this year than any other major region in the province. So it's a big issue. We have to tackle it. And the Green Party has a plan.
I stand by that we're in one of the trickier wickets across this province, because what we've seen when the housing markets go up was Toronto moved into Mississauga. Mississauga moved a little over to Burlington. Burlington, you know, it kind of kept spreading. Here in Niagara, we're landlocked. We're not going to move across the border. We haven't got a little bit further down the road from Toronto to go, and it feels like the problem is just going to be exacerbated over time. Some would say, Mike, look, this needs to be, you know, solved by private industry. Why do you think government needs to get involved?
Well, actually, we need both. So we have a number of strategies to help the private sector expand housing supply while at the same time protecting farmland, wetlands, and green space. And we also need to get government involved as well. So this is all three levels of government. This is public and private sectors getting involved. And one of the reasons behind government involvement, if you think about it, government at particularly the provincial and federal level was very involved in affordable housing up until the 1990s. And then both levels of government pretty much got out of housing. And since then, the affordability crisis, as I've said, has been growing over and over and over every year to the point now where we've reached a breaking point. And so we're going to need government involvement as well as private sector involvement. And what we're proposing is that the government build in partnership with the other two levels of government 100,000 affordable housing spaces over the next decade. And in order to address chronic homelessness and just also the mental health and addictions crisis that we're facing as a province as well, we're proposing to build 60,000 permanent supportive housing spaces with wraparound mental health and addiction services. And we know that every $10 invested in permanent supportive housing saves $22 in criminal justice and healthcare costs. So not only are we addressing issues around making sure we have enough supply for housing affordability, but also we can do it in a way that saves costs in other areas.
Those could be, you know, scare off some people, because I'm going to guess 100,000 affordable rental units, 60,000 permanent supportive housing units. That's going to come at a pretty hefty price tag.
Yeah, and we have a plan to pay for it. That's the good news. In two different ways. So the first is increasing speculation and vacancy taxes, in which will also help create incentives to reduce pressure on home prices going up. We know a number of people now are starting to park money into the real estate market and turn it into more of a financial asset. and more speculative. And we believe that homes should be for people, not for speculators. And especially now that we're seeing increasing numbers of vacant homes, you know, which just seems, you know, unsustainable given the fact that we have so many people who can't even afford to buy a home. So putting those speculation taxes will help dampen that aspect of the market and increase affordability, while at the same time raising funds that we can invest in affordable housing. And then the other source of funding is right now Ontario spends over $6 billion a year, being the only jurisdiction in North America to directly subsidize electricity prices. A disproportionate of those benefits go to wealthy households. And we're saying cap it, so those programs continue to support lower and middle income households. But, you know, why are we subsidizing high-income households at a time when so many young families can't even afford to buy a home or rent a home? And so let's reprioritize that money and ensure that everyone in Ontario has an affordable place to call home.
How would your vacancy tax work?
Yeah, so essentially if a unit is vacant, and this is long-term, not short-term, obviously, you know when people are renovating or maybe they buy a house, it takes some time to move in, but for long-term vacancies, we would put a tax on that. We know, particularly in Toronto and Peel regions, in Halton region as well, we're seeing an increasing number of not only condominiums that are vacant, but actually single-family homes that are vacant. Yeah. And let's get people in those homes.
How would you? Because I know that there's been conversations at municipal levels down here around this. You know, keeping tabs of what's actually empty and what's not is pretty difficult.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, you've got bylaw officers and et cetera that can tabulate that. You can look at things like electricity use. There's a number of different mechanisms in which monitoring that can take place. And as a matter of fact, a number of investigative journalists have been doing it on their own. So the tools are there to do it, and we just need to do it. We need to put a tax on it. That will discourage that kind of behavior, which will increase housing supply, which takes some of the pressure off of supply and demand. Another thing we're really pushing is to create opportunities for new home buyers or existing home buyers to have additional revenue streams to be able to better afford their mortgages while at the same time increasing housing supply. Things like laneway suites, basement apartments, secondary suites, creating incentives for homeowners to be able to add those additional rental units, which provides an income stream to make housing more affordable, but also then increases supply within our existing built environment, which takes pressure off of the market.
A lot of that sounds like it would put pressure on municipalities for inspectors and bylaw and stuff like that. Is there a funding formula to make sure that the municipalities could have the number of inspectors and everything they'd need for something like that?
Yeah, we've proposed uploading 50% of shelter and community housing costs for municipalities, because we know municipalities are under a lot of financial stress, particularly during COVID. I mean, pre-COVID they were, but especially during COVID. And so, you know, we think it was a mistake when the provincial government downloaded those costs onto municipalities back in the 90s. We're proposing uploading half of those costs to give municipalities some additional fiscal room to provide better services for their communities.
It is certainly top of mind for a lot of people, and at the end of it, I guess, you know, this is the first part of a platform for 2022 election. I can't believe we're already doing that, Mike.
I can't believe we are, to be honest with you as well. I've been so focused on COVID, the COVID response, making sure we help and support small businesses, get things reopened. But, you know, with the election less than a year away, you know, parties are starting to talk about, you know, what policies are going to put in the window. And we think the Green Party believes that, you know, the housing crisis has been really highlighted during the pandemic. And, you know, I'm hoping that we don't even have to wait until the next election. I'm happy to have the Ford government steal as many of our ideas as they want, because we need to get moving on housing affordability right now.
We absolutely do. Mike, we've got a year to the polls, but we'll see what happens through all these ideas. I appreciate the chat this morning. Thanks.
Hey, anytime, Matt. Pleasure to join you.
Take care. There is Ontario Green Party leader Mike Schreiner out with their housing strategy ahead of the 2022 election. I know it's not really that long, but doesn't that seem And it is honestly something that so many people in this region are talking about and are hyper aware of. But wow, like we're already putting platform pieces down for 2022. Housing better be a big key. There better be really good pieces for each party. If they think they're going to skate by without putting out some sort of platform piece for housing, I think they're a little out to lunch. Like, this is going to be a very key election time type of conversation, I think, aside from, you know, trust of the government and everything else, which kind of has popped up over the last year and a half. But that's for those people who really want to see, you know, funding and plans for the future. Housing is going to be, I think, it's going to be absolutely huge for so many people. And honestly, I think there's going to be people who pump money into the market that don't want the government to be touching it. So it's going to be an election issue for them too, and how parties handle that will certainly be an interesting kind of case study to watch how they manage to do that over the next year or so.